Hello, everybody. This is the translation of Lucy Bardieu's message for Sunday, the 2nd of January, 2022. I would like to offer you my best wishes for a good and happy 2022 in the presence of the Lord. But imagine what responsibility lies with me. The first Sunday of the year, the first message of the year. It has to be inspiring, encouraging, giving momentum. It has to launch us on those 365 days that we all want to be happy days as much as possible. The notion of time, a year, and the notion of happiness. It's a new year, but then I have a problem with one of the books of the Bible. The book of Ecclesiastes, which tells us in the first chapter, verse 9, that there is nothing new under the sun. But yes, there is something new all the time. New COVID restrictions, such as only being allowed to stay in one particular area. Your smartphones notifying you on the first of every month of what changes there are that month. Prices, regulations, fashion changes all the time. Trends are changing. Mini skirts, plaid shirts, bell-bottom trousers, etc. So, isn't there anything new under the sun? I understand that some, throughout the history of the church, have wanted to eliminate the book of Ecclesiastes from the official list of books that make up the Bible. For many, there is, above all, a pessimistic note in this book. But no, this little book, in the Word of God, is worth a detour. Let's read these first verses on which I will comment as we go along. Ecclesiastes chapter 1, verse 1. These are the words of the philosopher, David's son, who was king in Jerusalem. It is useless, useless, said the philosopher. Life is useless, all useless. What a negative attitude. Nothing is useful for anything. You spend your life working, labouring, and what do you have to show for it? It is true. For some, there is not even enough to provide for their needs. I'm thinking of children, child labour in other parts of the world, and those who complain in our country about their purchasing power. Verse 4, 5 and 6. Generations come and generations go, but the world stays just the same. The sun still rises and it still goes down, going wearily back to where it must start all over again. The wind blows south, the wind blows north, round and round and back again. Seen like that, it's true. The world turns, but it turns in circles. It's an eternal restart, not an advancement. Verse 7. Every river flows into the sea, but the sea is not yet full. The water returns to where the rivers began and starts all over again. The water cycle, the falling rain, goes into streams, rivers, flowing towards the ocean and is absorbed in the clouds which will cause this water to fall elsewhere. Verse 8a. Everything leads to weariness. A weariness too great for words. Seen as the philosopher describes it, is true. Then human beings are not content with this reality and go in search of happiness, a happy new year. Verse 8b. Our eyes can never see enough to be satisfied. Our ears can never hear enough. The quest for happiness. And then the harsh reality. Verses 9 and 10. What has happened before will happen again. What has been done before will be done again. There is nothing new in the whole world. Look, they say, here is something new. But no, it has all happened before, long before we were born. Is there something new under the sun or not? We could discuss this at length without coming to an agreement. Because how do you say that something is new when you don't know just what was there before? The philosopher says, verse 11, no one remembers what has happened in the past, and no one in days to come will remember what happens between now and then. Memory that is lacking, for some things, in some people, in contrast to these bad experiences that we cannot forget. This little book of the Bible, the book of Ecclesiastes, seen like that, is really depressing, not thrilling. So let's stop reading it right now. Or we say to ourselves, but if this book is in the Bible, it is because, despite everything, there is a lesson to be learned from it. Courage, friends. We are continuing our discovery. Maybe this book of the Bible is new to you in your walk with the Lord. Verses 12. I, the philosopher, have been king over Israel in Jerusalem. Verse 13a. I determined that I would examine and study all the things that are done in this world to understand its meaning. The author sets out in search of the meaning of life, a bit like the quest of every human being. What is the meaning of my life? What to do with this life? How to live to be happy? Verse 13b. God has laid a miserable fate upon us. The quest for meaning is incumbent upon us, each one of us individually. The author says, verse 14, I have seen everything done in this world, and I tell you, it is all useless, that it's like chasing the wind. Everything we do is useless, in other words, life has no meaning. Is that right? Verse 15, you can't straighten out what is crooked. You can't count things that aren't there. The author admits that he lacks power and wisdom. However, in verse 16, I told myself, I have become a great man, far wiser than anyone who ruled Jerusalem before me. I know what wisdom and knowledge really are. Verse 17, I was determined to learn the difference between knowledge and foolishness, wisdom and madness. But I found out that I might as well be chasing the wind. The wiser you are, the more worries you have, the more you know, the more it hurts. We might as well immediately stop our quest for meaning. Experience seems to show that what was thought to be meaningful does not mean that much after all. And to become smarter is to increase not your happiness but your suffering. Anyone with a higher education will agree that study is not just fun, but pain too. So how to live in 2022? How to live happily in 2022? How to make life happy? Already sparing you this morning to make a too detailed a study of the whole book of Ecclesiastes. After all, you have the whole year of 2022 to read it for yourself. The philosopher presents his analysis of life, of what makes you happy or not, of what is useful and what is futile. But the key to understanding this book is in these three words, under the sun, an expression that comes up 30 times in this little book. Saying under the sun suggests that another horizon exists, above the sun, further away, elsewhere, what some call the sky or heaven, that other reality. And if everything under the sun seems vain, futile, useless, repetitive and boring, Perhaps by taking into account the other side of the scenery in which we live, the sky, there may be things that we are experiencing here can make sense, and the search for meaning and happiness will not be in vain after all. The notion of time is important to the philosopher. You know this poetic passage from chapter 3. Everything that happens in this world happens at the time God chooses. He sets the time for birth and the time for death, the time for planting and the time for pulling up, the time for killing and the time for healing, the time for tearing down and the time for building. He sets the time for sorrow and the time for joy, the time for mourning and the time for dancing, the time for making love and the time for not making love, the time for kissing and the time for not kissing. The notion of time. And then comes the reference to God and the relationship between God and man. In verse 11a, he has set the right time for everything. What confidence in God. This ties in with what the apostle wrote to the Romans. All things work together for good for those who love the Lord, even the bad ones, truly. 11b, he has given us a desire to know the future. And certainly, yes, we want to run our own lives, make decisions. In 11c, but never gives us the satisfaction of fully understanding what he does. Again, this observation of our ignorance under the sun. And finally, a call for simplicity. Verse 12. So I realized that all we can do is be happy, us humans, and do the best we can while we are still alive. The meaning of life is to take it as a gift and enjoy it. Verse 13. All of us should eat and drink and enjoy what we have worked for. It is God's gift. Not necessarily from merit. For some maybe, for others, despite what they deserve, the result is not there. Depending on where we are born, at what time, man or woman, everyone's lot is different. Should we fall into despair? No, of course not. Here is what the philosopher adds in verse 14. I know that everything God does will last forever. You can't add anything to it or take anything away from it. And one thing God does is to make us stand in awe of him. Here it is, that after the verses which may seem negative, which say that life has no meaning, that happiness is not necessarily real, not even in 2022, that all life is only a vapour, everything we do leads nowhere, lo and behold, the philosopher relies on God. Let him be what he is, God. The contrast between the one who looks at life from a pretty, purely human point of view with the one who observes what happens under the sun. But the philosopher now gives way to God, to this other horizon, what is above the sun. And he says of our God, first, that he is faithful. Whatever God does endures. He doesn't change. At last, a certainty for us. And then God does as he wants, and he does so to be respected. So that we learn to live, not as if there is only the visible world under the sun, but also to live with spiritual realities which belong to God and which he reveals to us as we go along, as we walk with him, so that we respect him. So I want to say Happy New Year 2022 to you. If you truly accept that God is the Master, the Lord in your life, he is faithful and he acts for our good. Chapter 4, verse 4. I have also learned why people work so hard to succeed. It is because they envy the things their neighbours have, but it's useless. It is like chasing the wind. Don't waste time chasing the wind, thinking that you really have your life in your hands. So, how should we live in 2022? The philosopher gives us several leads. Firstly, it is to look at things no longer from the human perspective under the sun, but from the perspective of God. Stop looking for our own kingdom and accept to live fully in His. It doesn't mean we're going to stop living. On the contrary, we will live our life more fully. Listen to the advice of the philosopher. Chapter 2, verses 24 and 25. The best thing we can do is eat and drink and enjoy what we have earned. And yet I realize that even this comes from God. How else could you have anything to eat or enjoy yourself at all? Put yourself in God's perspective. He gives to us. It is not by our own merit that we have it. And then to be satisfied with what we have, instead of always looking higher, farther, to be richer. Pleasing God is the most important. Chapter 2, verse 26. God gives wisdom, knowledge and happiness to those who please him, but he makes sinners work, earning and saving, so that what they get can be given to those who please him. It is all useless, it's like chasing the wind. Then here's a piece of advice regarding our worship of God. Chapter 5, verse 1 and 2. Watch your step when you enter God's house. Enter to learn. That's far better than mindlessly offering a sacrifice, doing more harm than good. Don't shoot off your mouth or speak before you think. Don't be too quick to tell God what you think he wants to hear. God's in charge, not you. The less you speak, the better. The philosopher invites us to a life of contentment, not to look too far ahead, neither for earthly nor for spiritual life. Let God run things. He does all things well in his time. He loves us like a father. He knows what is good for us, and especially at what moment. Another observation. Chapter 6, verse 7. We do all our work just to get something to eat, but we never have enough. Contentment, submission to God, letting him direct our lives and not to contest the circumstances he takes us through in order to carry out his work in our life. Everything works for the good of those who love God. Believe it with a humble and simple heart. Our pursuit of happiness brings us to bad places. The philosopher says in chapter 7, verse 2 and 3 and 4, it is better to go to a home where there is mourning than to one where there is a party, because the living should always remind themselves that death is waiting for us all. Sorrow is better than laughter. It may sadden your face, but it sharpens your understanding. Someone who is always thinking about happiness is a fool. A wise person thinks about death. Sadness is better than laughter. It teaches us, which is really important. This is the goal of the philosopher, to teach us. Chapter 12, verses 9 and 10. But because the philosopher was wise, he kept on teaching the people what he knew. He studied proverbs and honestly tested their truth. The philosopher tried to find comforting words, but the words he wrote were honest. Even if at times it feels like the picture is bleak, under the sun, which does not shine every day of our life, happiness is not always there. But God makes everything good in due time. So what to expect in 2022? Chapter 7, verse 14 and 15. When things are going well for you, be glad, and when trouble comes, just remember, God sends both happiness and trouble. You never know what is going to happen next. My life has been useless, but in it I have seen everything. Some good people may die, while others live on, even though they are evil. The philosopher tells us about relativity, a life in which everything being well is not proof of a blessed life. On the contrary, God uses adversity, trials, to get us to where we need to be. Verse 14, when all is well, be happy. When everything is bad, think about it. What more can we say at the start of the year? God makes everything good in due time. Let us live out this with confidence and courage. Courage because it renews our strength. Even though the good are not always rewarded and the bad seem to enjoy life more than the righteous, listen again. Chapter 8, verses 10 to 12. Yes, I have seen the wicked buried and in their graves, but on the way back from the cemetery, people praise them in the very city where they did their evil. It's useless. Why do people commit crime so readily? Because crime is not punished quickly enough. A sinner may commit 100 crimes and still live. Revenge belongs to God, but he chooses his time to avenge. He leaves time for the sinner to change, to find true happiness. Verse 12 continues, oh yes, I know what they say. If you obey God, everything will be all right. It's a promise, not necessarily for now, but maybe for later. Verse 13, but it will not go well for the wicked. Their life is like a shadow and they will die young because they do not obey God. This is the perspective of under the sun and under the gaze of God. Everything is different, but perfect happiness is not promised to those who honour the Lord, who obey him, follow him. Not right away. Verse 14, but this is nonsense. Look at what happens in the world. Sometimes the righteous get the punishment of the wicked and the wicked get the reward of the righteous. I say it is useless. What to say then? Despair? Turn away from God? No, the philosopher offers us another regime. Verse 15. So I am convinced that we should enjoy ourselves because the only pleasure we have in this life is eating and drinking and enjoying ourselves. We can at least do this as we labour during the life that God has given us in this world. It is yet another call to live simply, humbly, respecting God and not looking too far ahead or too much seeking after wealth. And yet the book of Ecclesiastes does not incite us not to do anything, to desire nothing. On the contrary, it inspires us to action. Listen again, chapter 9, verse 10. Work hard at whatever you do, because there will be no action, no thought, no knowledge, no wisdom in the world of the dead. And that is where you are going. So act. Do what you can do now. Verse 11a. I realized another thing, that in this world, fast runners do not always win the races and the brave do not always win the battles. The wise do not always earn a living. Intelligent people do not always get rich and capable people do not always rise to high positions. There is no cause and effect. Not everything is logical under the sun in life here on earth. 11b. Bad luck happens to everyone. Verse 12. You never know when your time is coming. Like birds suddenly caught in a trap, like fish caught in a net, we are trapped at some evil moment when we least expect it. Is this a good message for the first Sunday of the year? We wish each other a happy new year, but we veil our faces. We know it well. It will not be a good and happy one, because we want it to be. What to say then? What really makes sense? The philosopher invites us to moderation. Not to dream of what would be unrealistic, but not to inaction either. Chapter 11, verse 1 and 2. Invest your money in foreign trade, and one of these days you will make a profit. Put your investment in several places, many places even, because you never know what kind of bad luck you are going to have in this world. Realism, but not inaction. Chapter 11, verse 4. If you wait until the wind and the weather are just right, you will never plant anything and never harvest anything. Chapter 11, verse 6. Do your planting in the morning and in the evening too. You never know whether it will all grow well or whether one planting will do better than the other. When will we know? By living with eternity in view, not under the sun, but with the horizon beyond. As the philosopher says in conclusion, chapter 12, verse 13 and 14. After all this, there is only one thing to say. Have reverence for God and obey his commands, because this is all that we were created for. God is going to judge everything we do, whether good or bad, even things done in secret. So, Happy New Year, 2022. This is my sincere wish, but that I comply with the words of the Holy Scriptures of the book of Ecclesiastes. Man desires, but God decides. I recall this verse, chapter 3, verse 11a. He has set the right time for everything. So let us move forward with confidence. Paul reminds us all things work together for good for those who love God. No need to fear 2022. You just need to trust in God. With him, 2022 will be a good year for you, even if some will go through difficult and painful moments. Despite this, with God, the year 2022 will be a good year for you. May the realism and the good advice of the philosopher be of precious help to us in knowing how to live under the sun in this year, 2022, with our hearts fixed on this other horizon that God gives us. Let us pray. Lord, your word is a lamp to our feet and a light to our path. Help us read the whole Bible. Your realism, your promises, your loyalty, the obstacle course that leads us to holiness, like the child who can't learn to walk without falling and hurting himself. All things work together for good for those who love God. God does all things well in due time. May we be able to say Amen to this. Thank you for the new year, your promises, your loyalty, the trials you send us, your blessings and your kindness, which will be renewed in 2022 every morning. Thank you, Father, for all your grace. In the name of Jesus. Amen.